I travel around and I go to and I experience a lot of worship services, a lot of Sabbath morning services. And while I believe God is at work among all of God's people, there's a special feeling, a sense of worship in this congregation on Sabbath. And I praise the Lord for your commitment and for your wonderful singing voices as we corporately sing together and collectively for the Lord. It's such a blessing and an honor to be here. My friends, just a quick reminder before we get into our message this morning. Tonight at 5:30, we will return for the last time during this seminar. Tonight, there's going to be a double presentation, but I've entitled it the same. It's going to be kind of a part one and part two. Tonight at 5:30 p.m. Will be the last presentation of this seminar entitled Strange Fire. Kind of an interesting topic, but in the first hour at 5:30, I will be giving my personal testimony of how the Lord brought me out of the Pentecostal church and how He led me to where I am today. And then in the second hour, I'm going to kind of backtrack shortly on my experience within the Pentecostal church, and we're going to do a rather in-depth study within God's Word about this false manifestation of the Holy Spirit, along with an in-depth study of the gift of speaking in tongues. So this is one of the more popular questions I get as I travel around, and so we're going to address these issues tonight at 5:30 and, of course, around 7 o'clock after our evening meal. Until then, right now I have a very exciting and precious message to share with you this morning entitled, Home. So what should we do before we study? We should always seek the Lord in prayer. If you would, my friends, reverently bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we have sought you multiple times this morning in prayer, your word teaches us to never stop seeking you in prayer. Lord, we want to come to you at this moment and we want to ask you now to dwell within us, to open our minds, our eyes, our ears, to give us understanding, that we may be able to have the spiritual eyesight and the spiritual hearing to see and hear what the Word is teaching us this morning. Lord, I pray that this will be a special presentation, a special message, that it will reach the heart of every single person in here, and that we will see even more now, during these times that we live, our need for our Savior Jesus. We thank you, and we praise you as always. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We read many stories in the Bible, many powerful passages full of words of faith and encouragement. Perhaps one of the most central characters in all of the Bible is a man by the name of Abraham. The Lord God would call Abraham to have a faith like no other, and just simply obey His word. Abraham was a great man of faith, as we are told by Paul in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. But I want to highlight a specific portion of the scripture in Hebrews 11. I want us to see that there's something special there that Abraham was looking for in his days, and of course looking forward to in the days to come. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 10, says, and we might have it on the screen. I'm going to unplug and then plug it back up. Aha. Hebrews 11, verse 10 states, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then I love verse 16. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see, in these Bible prophecy seminars, we talk a lot about Bible prophecy. We highlight major aspects of the gospel and of the great prophetic books of Daniel and Revelation. And as for such a time as this, it is so fitting for us to now go back into prophecy and remind ourselves of the wonderful gift and the wonderful future that God has prepared for us. Many times, sometimes we might forget about this great blessing and this great day that will come in which we will all gather together and be with Christ forever. You see, I entitled this presentation Home. For one, hoping that you will remember it. Simply, home. My friends, this world is not our home. This world that we live in currently was not according to the plan of God. It was not God's original will and original plan for us to live in the current state, in the current world that we are living in today. You see, Jesus tells us very clearly, as it was so beautifully read earlier, from John chapter 14, verse 1, before he would leave this planet for the last time, the Bible makes it very clear, as Jesus states, "Let not your heart be troubled." See, we live in a world where our heart is constantly troubled, are we not? We live in a world of sin, sorrow, pain, death, sickness, disease, fear, crying. But Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. My friends, do we believe that Jesus is coming again? Do we truly believe within our hearts and minds that Jesus will return as he promised that he would? Amen. He says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." You see, the entire story of the Bible can simply be broken down and described within just a few words. It's the entire story of the Bible, the very thesis and synopsis of this entire gospel is simply God at constant work, a constant reaching out to his people and trying to restore a broken relationship with man in hopes that one day they can be reconciled and brought back together, that they may never part again. He wants to receive you unto himself. He says that where I am, there you may be also. You see, our minds can't begin to fathom what God has prepared for us. Our minds can't even begin to understand or to comprehend the life that is to come if we put our trust in Jesus. You see, Jesus says, "Right now, you're not with me, but I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also." My friends, do we truly desire to be with Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people today. There's many, many songs that we sing about heaven and the pearly gates. And we're going to talk about these few things this morning. And it's very important for us to know these things. It's very inspiring and encouraging to know these things. And perhaps I've had many, many conversations with Christians in which we've talked about heaven and the many beautiful aspects of heaven. And I've heard common conversations and replies from people who would say, "Oh, I just can't wait to get to heaven to see my mansion." And I say, praise the Lord, Jesus did promise that in his Father's house are many mansions. In fact, you know, California is the home to many of the largest houses and the largest mansions in the world. But my friends, the mansions that are even within the great state of sunny California are the counterfeit versions to what God has prepared for us. It's very interesting that people will say, "Well, I can't wait to get to heaven to walk those streets of gold. I can't wait to get to heaven to see my mansion. I can't wait to get to heaven so I can sit down by the lion and the lamb and run my fingers through the mane of this great, beautiful beast that God has created. But my friends, I can tell you, whether I'm in a mansion or on a grass shack on the beach somewhere, I just praise the Lord God that I'll make it to heaven. Amen? But the most important thing is that we go to heaven and we'll be so excited, and our focus when we arrive there is not take me to my mansion, but take me to Jesus. You see, there are many promises given to us. In this life, this life is full of disease and sorrow and pain and death. The Bible gives us many beautiful promises as to how God is going to change us and fashion us and make us different. We are going to have new bodies, and we think of these things and we smile and we try our best to understand, but we can't quite possibly comprehend such a complex thing. Because in this life, all we have ever known is death and pain and sorrow. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, beautiful promise. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Isn't that a wonderful promise? And we're told in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, even more promises in regards to this new home that we can't possibly understand. It says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." We often talk about this temple. This heavenly temple, this heavenly sanctuary in which God Himself dwells. It says, "I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more." Go no more out. "And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." You see, God has a new city, a new dwelling place. You see, this world is not our home. This is a temporary dwelling place. You know, when we talk about and begin to question or ask questions in regards to this great city that God has prepared for us, you know, we see the great big cities of the world. Cities like New York City. Cities like Los Angeles, California. Great cities like Paris or Rome, or even great cities such as Jerusalem. And we think of these mighty, great cities. But the Bible says that God is going to create for us an even greater city. I mean, when you read the book of Revelation and you see how God is going to create and fashion and build this city, it's so big, it's so huge, it's so marvelous that you and I can't even begin to understand it. The size of this city, and I don't know that we could quite comprehend how big this really is, the size of this city is 1,500 miles in perimeter. Can anyone understand that? Could you imagine such a city that big? I mean, when you consider the famous transparent walls that surround this great city, they are 216 feet high. That's more than 20 stories high. What a city. There are 12 gates in which you can enter this city. And each one of those 12 gates are made, the Bible says, of a single pearl. A single pearl. That must be a big clam somewhere. There are 12 foundations of this city, made each of various precious stones. And of course, famously, as we are told, the streets are made of also transparent gold. And where do we find such a thing? Has anyone in here ever found transparent gold? Transparent gold. We read about the specks and the wonderful statistics given to us in relation to this great, mighty new city that we are all going to live in and dwell with Jesus. And again, the Bible tells us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Again, God says, let me show my servant John these things, as he will write and give you an accurate, detailed version. But as much as you try to picture in your own mind what I have prepared to you, you cannot begin to fathom. You can't even begin to understand what I have prepared for you. You see, the Bible tells us that John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. My friends, no more sea. We're not going to have to get in a plane and fly hours and hours and hours and hours to get across the sea to another country. There's going to be no such thing as another country in heaven. There's going to be no such thing as a sea. We're all going to be together. We're going to dwell with God on this earth, on this new earth. And I put this picture here, and you know, it's a beautiful picture of the earth, but this is perhaps maybe an artist rendition of what the current earth might look like. And we can't even begin to understand this new heaven and new earth, because it's going to be nothing like the old one. For God is going to do away with the old one, and he's going to prepare anew. You know, I read this, and as I brought out early in my seminar, it's very interesting to note that the Bible tells us that we are going to be in this holy city with Jesus when he speaks this world, this new world, into existence. We are going to experience and see in the very presence of Jesus, just as he spoke the world into existence in the beginning. We're going to get to witness that. Isn't that awesome? Verse 2 tells us, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. You see, God, again, constantly desiring to be with his people. The question is, do we equally desire to be with him? Do we equally desire, do we want to truly be with Jesus? Because he so desires to be with us. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You see, we talk a lot about Jesus now. We can come to know Jesus now in this lifetime, but there's coming a time when we will not have to talk about being with him anymore. We will actually be with him. We'll get to talk with him. I'll get to hug Jesus. And when I hug him, I'm not going to want to let go. My other brothers and sisters in Christ are going to have to come up and pry my arms off him and say, all right, my turn. Verse 4, I love it so much. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. What? No more death? Neither sorrow. Does this sound like our world? This isn't anything like our world. Nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more hospitals. No more need for a hospital. No more need for doctors. If there's any in the room, get ready. Get ready to hang it up. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more painkillers. Morphine, gone. Don't need it anymore. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. And again, we read these scriptures sometimes and we can't just possibly understand. Like, it sounds so great, but I don't know a world such as this, because this is all the world that we've ever known. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." In the next chapter, the closing chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." You know, I've been recently watching some videos on water, because water is vitally important for our health. And I found that, you know, many of the water that we have today is not of the proper pH level, and your body needs to be alkaline and all these things. And I'm learning more and more about health and more about the types of even water that I should put in my body. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about that stuff anymore. We're not going to have to worry if this water is of the proper pH level. We're not going to have to worry if this water is purified, or if it has the proper vitamins and minerals, or if it's contaminated, or if it's poisonous. We're not going to worry about all that, because guess what? The water of life is going to come from the very throne of God. My friends, this world is not our home. We don't belong here. We do not belong in this place. Are you preparing for the next? Amen. Do you have your bags packed? Because Jesus says he has prepared a place for you. And then it gets better. Now, when I read this next scripture, my whole world lights up. My whole world lights up. Check this out. "In the midst of the street on it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear," notice, "which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were of the healing of the nations." Now, you know, the Bible says that there's going to be fruit on the tree of life. There's no doubt in my mind there's going to be avocados on the tree of life at least 1 month out of the year. And I have a theory that there will be no onions in heaven. You laugh about it. But if you notice the Bible story, Adam and Eve, before they were kicked out of the garden, they ate of the fruit of the tree. Onions and vegetables came later, after sin came in the world. And he says he's going to make all things new like unto the beginning. I'm just saying, I don't expect to eat onions when I get to heaven. But if I do, I know they'll taste so much better than they do in this life. Because those things that we have today, those nasty, bitter things we call onions, whoo, Lord help us. But if I ever eat an onion, it'll be because Jesus gives me the one that I know I'll like, and I know I'll eat. Those little small green counterfeit things that we find here in the stores that we call avocados, those aren't avocados. You see, the Bible says everything's going to be bigger and better in heaven, so we're probably going to pick basketball-sized avocados off the tree of life. I believe it. I believe it. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall..." Oops, what happened? I think the fly might have took it out finally. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." We are going to adopt the very name and character of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. "And there shall be no more night there." No more night. I love that song, "No More Night." Have you guys ever heard the song? No more night. No more pain. Oh, I love that song. "No more tears. Never crying again. And praises to the great I am, who we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. No more night. There's no need of a candle, neither light of the sun. My friends, that doesn't say there's not going to be a sun or a moon or light for the rest of the earth, but when we're in that city, there's no more need of any light, because the Bible says, "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Oh, so awesome, so powerful. This world is not our home. You see, heaven is the perfect paradise. This new Jerusalem that Christ wants to be with us and a part of us, that's our home. And my friends, the Bible tells us something very interesting about the kingdom of God. You see, we also need to understand that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it tells us, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." You see, sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. The sin of the world must pass away with the world. And if we have part in this great home, this great kingdom that God has prepared for us, we must pray constantly the Lord's Prayer. "That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, we need the faith of Jesus now so that we can prepare for our home to come. You see, I love the beautiful plea and cry from God. From Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. He says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die?" My friends, does God want to see us perish? If there's anything we've learned in this seminar, we need to understand one thing. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He does not want to see us perish, but He wants us to have eternal life with Him. So I leave you with a beautiful promise this evening, again from the Word of God and from Jesus Himself. You see, often we need to remind ourselves that when we're reading the book of Revelation, in the very first verse of Revelation, it tells us very clearly in the very first verse of the first chapter that this is the revelation of whom? Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, to the last church age, the church age in which we're currently living, Laodicea, lukewarm, He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne." And He leaves us with these words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You see, my friends, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon to take us away to our real home. A home that you and I are supposed to be preparing for now. A home in which we, our loved ones, and Jesus will never part again. It is promised that we will never part again. You see, I was scheduled for special music this morning. And I'm going to do that special music right now. But you're going to help me with it. Okay? Can you help me with special music this morning? All right. I think it's found on page 449, I think. I think it might be on the screen. I don't know. Or it may be just right there in your hymnals. I know it is. 449. This is one of my favorite hymns entitled Never Part Again. It's such a wonderful gospel message. Now, I need you to do this with me in a specific way. You see, there was a famous Adventist evangelist years ago. His name has slipped my mind at the moment. But years ago, as he would preach his series, his theme song every single night was Never Part Again. And I can see why. As he would sing the verses, he would sing the verses aloud, but when they got to the chorus where it says, and soon we shall with Jesus reign and never, never part again. I want you to look down at the very bottom page. You are going to say, what? This is you. What? Never part again. You're asking a question. What? Never part again. And I'm going to echo, no, never part again. And you need to hear it one more time because you say, what? Never part again. And I'll say, no, never part again. And then you're going to join me. And soon we shall with Jesus reign. And never, never part again. Can you guys do that with me this evening, this morning? Can you do it with me? Stand with me as we sing praises to Jesus.
Of pure delight, where bliss eternal reigns, infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. We're traveling to Emmanuel's land. We soon shall hear the trumpet sound, and soon we shall with Jesus reign. And never, never part again.
This is your part. Get ready. Here we go. Real loud and clear.
What?
Never part again.
That's you guys. And then I sang, oh no,
never part again.
What? Never part again.
No.
I'm going to go to verse 3, last verse.
Could we but stand where Moses stood and view the landscape whole? Not all this world's pretended good could ever charm us more. We're traveling through Emmanuel's land. We soon shall hear the trumpet sound, and soon no, never part again.
What? Never part again.
Oh no, never part again. And soon we shall with Jesus reign.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God on high. My friends, this world is not our home. I desire so much to be with Jesus. What about you? As Jesus said, as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. But he says, be zealous and repent. He that overcomes, will he grant to sit with him on his throne, even as his Father, even as he sat with his Father on his throne. My friends, more than ever, we need to be seeking Jesus now. Amen? We need to surrender now. And so I want to thank you all for coming and being supportive of this seminar. Tonight, we're going to meet back here at 5:30. And I'm going to give my testimony. And if you have any questions about, certain forms of spiritualism, as well as the gift of speaking in tongues, we're going to be covering that this evening as a closing two sessions of this seminar. And I hope to see you all back here. Amen? Amen. Let's have a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I believe that you have been with us here this morning. I believe your presence is within us. And my prayer is that we have properly uplifted you this morning, and that all of us have lifted song and praise to you to glorify you in your name. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your continual grace and mercy in our life. Lord, we look forward to a time when we will never part again, but that one day we will gather together in the clouds of heaven, and that we will forever be with Jesus. My prayer, Lord, is that every single person in this room will surrender today, and that we will forsake self. As the Bible says, we must decrease and he must increase. May the increase of Jesus Christ occur in our life. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.